Today's Shir Masech to Shabbos Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous Shir, the Gemara brought up an issue. If somebody is on a boat and he wants to be able to carry from the boat onto the from the water in the yam to the boat, how could he do so? The yam is a karmelis. The boat is a rishus hayochid. And of course, one may not carry from a rishus hayochid to a karmelis, or vice versa. So the Gemara said what you need to do is build a ziz kol shehu. You have to build a little protrusion, and like that, that will be a heker to allow you to carry from the yam onto the boat. The other mandomer, as we learned, said Rav Chisda's opinion was that you have to build a frame, and that's the way from, and you carry the water from the yam onto the boat, from the karmelis onto into the rishus hayochid through that frame. In our previous shiur, we discussed exactly how that frame is supposed to look. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Rav Chiya bar Oven. Rav Chisda ul Rabba bar Huna, Damri Oysa Mokam Arba Mamalei. That according to their opinion was that we have to build this frame, Oysa Mokam Arba Malish Shoifchen the Day Heche Shadilei. How do you remove wastewater from the boat? So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, if we hold, as we mentioned, that the other opinion is that they built a ziz, they just built some sort of a stick sticking out of the boat, so all the purpose of that ziz is just to make a heker. And if the entire purpose of the ziz is to make a heker, the heker could be accomplished. You could pour the water out on one side of the ziz, and you could, the waste water, and you could bring up water on the other side of the ziz. But if we're saying that Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna hold that you need to build this frame, and the water that you're going to bring up to your boat is from the yam, from the sea, will be brought up through that frame. So the Gemara is asking, it's difficult to require that two frames be built to have water pass through them, and to use the same frame to bring up clean water from the sea into your boat, and also pour out from the boat through that frame the dirty wastewater from the boat, people will be uncomfortable to do so. So how do you get the wastewater, according to this approach, that the only way you could transport between the karmelis and the boat is through a frame, what would you do? Because as the Gemara says, the shadalei ba'isamakim, you're going to want to pour out the wastewater through that frame. Misalei, people would not want to do so. And particularly, if as we discussed in our previous shiur, there are Rishonim who suggest that the way this frame was constructed, it wasn't just four boards, it wasn't just four pieces of wood that were put together, but they had to go down by the length of Asorot Tfachim. So it's going to be unlikely that if you pour wastewater through it, it's not going to hit the walls through which you're bringing up clean water. Answers the Gemara, the way the wastewater is removed from the boat, according to them, was the shadalei adafna de sfina. They would pour it along the walls of the boat. And that's how it would get from the boat, which is rishus hayochid, to the yam, which is a karmelis. Ask the Gemara, vikka kaychai, but it's still going into the karmelis because of your act. And that shouldn't that be considered usur? Answers the Gemara, even though, of course, it's also to transport from Rishus HaYochid to a Karmelis, etc., vice versa, the halach is that when it's not your direct act, it's only koichai, it's indirect, there Chazal did not make the gzeira that you may not transport to a Karmelis. Ask the Gemara, Umanot Temra, And from where do we indeed learn that Chazal under such circumstances did not say it's usur to carry? The Tanya, Sfina, the halach is regarding a boat. You're not allowed to carry from the boat to the sea or vice versa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Amuka Sora, if the boat is 10 tefachim deep, v'ein gavaya Sora, but it's not 10 tefachim above the sea. That means part of the boat is immersed in the yam. So that means the boat itself is a Rishus HaYochid because it has all of the necessary dimensions of the boat. But the outside of the boat is the Carmelis. The halacha is, Metaltel mitoichel yam, you let it carry from the boat into the sea. However, Avaloy menayam l'toichoy, you're not allowed to carry from the sea into the boat. However, this is only because the boat itself is a Rishus HaYochid. But let's say the boat did not have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, so that the boat itself would be a Rishus HaRabim, and since it would be a Carmelis, you'll have to carry from a Carmelis to a Carmelis. Furthermore, the issue here is because you don't have 10 tefachim above sea level when you're carrying into the boat. But let's say the boat was 10 tefachim above sea level. So if the boat was 10 tefachim above sea level, the boat would be, that means when you would carry from the sea, which is a Carmelis, to get something into the boat, it would mean you were carrying from a Carmelis, the sea, the yam, to the area above your tefachim. And we know that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if a Rishus HaRabim does not extend higher than 10 tefachim, then certainly a Carmelis doesn't extend above 10 tefachim. So you'll be carrying from a Carmelis through a Mokum Tor through to a Rishus HaYochid. And the Gemara is learning now that even though we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that Vav and Aleph, that you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid through Rishus HaRabim, even though you're carrying through a Mokum Tor, that's only because you're carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and just going through a Mokum Tor doesn't exempt you. However, when you're carrying from a Carmelis, which, as we keep on repeating, is not a Rishus Medaraisa, so you're carrying from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid through a Mokum Tor, that would be permissible. The only reason we have an issue in this case is because you're going directly from the Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid, not through the Mokum Tor. So now, ask the Gemara, Mashna min hayam l'toichoy, why may you not carry from the yam to the toichoy? The Kometatlin, Carmelis, Rishus HaYochid, because it would be a situation of carrying from the Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid. So if that's the case, and that's obviously prohibited, ask the Gemara, if so, mitoich liyam nami, you should not be allowed to carry from the boat into the yam. Aren't you metatl Rishus HaYochid to Carmelis, which is of course osur? Why did Rabbi Yehuda say under those circumstances it's permitted? Elalav, the reason you're allowed to carry from the boat to the yam is because you're not transporting, you're not pouring something directly from the Rishus HaYochid to the Carmelis. Rather, the situation is where you're pouring it al chudai, you're pouring it on the outside wall, and since the outside wall is not directly going from your Rishus HaYochid to Carmelis, it's mutter. Kushma mina, from here we see, koichai b'koich Carmelis le'gozru. Even though you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelis, the halacha is, you are allowed to carry indirectly through koicha, shma mina. So Tosfos asked the question, yes, we have a raya from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the way the Gemara just explained, that there is no issue of koicha by a Carmelis. But the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So instead of saying that we have a raya from Rabbi Yehuda, we have a kasha that the Rabbanan seem to say that even koichai would be also by Carmelis. So answers Tosfos that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the concept of koichai. When it's not going directly because of your koyach, because of your act, from the Rishos Yochid to the Karmelos, or vice versa, it's not asur. The point with which the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda is the other issue that we mentioned a moment ago. We said that everybody agrees, we learned the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, the Avov, that you're not allowed to carry Midrabbanon from Rishos HaYochid to Rishos HaRabim through a Makom Patur. However, we said that carrying from Rishos HaYochid or Rishos HaRabim through a Makom Patur to a Karmelos or vice versa would be mutter. That is the point, explained the Rishonim, Tosfos and other Rishonim, that the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And they say that just like you can't carry from Rishos HaYochid to a Karmelos through a Makom Patur, you can't, from Rishos HaYochid to Rishos HaRabim through a Makom Patur, so too is the halacha that you can't carry from Rishos HaYochid to a Karmelos through a Makom Patur. But when it comes to Koichai, regarding that halacha they agree with. But we just learned a very important halacha, and that is the halacha that by Karmelos there's no issue of Koichai. And this halacha is used to discuss a very important halacha. The halacha is that if you're not allowed to carry from a Karmelos to Rishos HaYochid, so when we turn on the faucet in our homes, we're bringing the water from the reservoir to our homes. The reservoir is a Karmelos, and our homes are Rishos HaYochid. So how can we do so? It's also interesting to point out that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Nun Zayin Sif Gimel, when it brings this halacha, that Koichoi Loi Gozru, they didn't make a gzeira of Koichoi by Karmelos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara, as we just quotes the halacha, as we learned, that by Karmelos there's no din of Koichoi. The Ramah differentiates between different types of Karmelos. He says, only by rivers and seas, the case of our Gemara, there we don't make a gzeira by Koichoi from a Karmelos to Rishos HaYochid. He says, because those are areas that no one would confuse with a Rishos HaRabim. And therefore, by such a Karmelos, which nobody's going to confuse with Rishos HaRabim, and it's also not a direct carrying, it's a Koichai carrying, there Chazal didn't make a gzera. However, when it's a Karmelos, not in the Yam, which could easily be confused with a Rishos HaRabim, there the Ramah says that even by such a Karmelos, there is a gzera Koichai. But going back to our question, how can we bring water from the Karmelos to the reservoir to our home? So the Chazanis says that the pipes through which these water pass goes through a Makom Patur. So it means we're going from a Karmelos to a Makom Patur to the Rishos HaYochid. But that isn't such an easy answer either, because the way we just explained, if that is permitted or not, is actually a machloikis. Only Rabbi Yehuda permits that. The Rabbanan don't permit that. So other achroinim want to suggest that turning on the faucet is considered a situation of koichai. It's not considered direct that the water comes because of my direct action from the Karmelos to the Rishos HaYochid. And Chazal did not make a gzeira, as we're learning, and the way we just explained, everybody agrees with this, that there's no gzeira of koichoi when it's a yam, when the Karmelos is a yam, and it's going through, and it's going to the Rishos HaYochid. By koichoi, we could be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hani Beye Tzedemeshin. You have these small boats that traveled in the place of Meshin. And the boats were wide on top and narrowed on the bottom, until at the bottom of the boat, they were very narrow. So you have a boat which is 10 tefachim tall. However, it's not 4 tefachim wide all the way to the bottom. The halacha is, Ein metatlam behem ela betoich arbamis. You're not allowed to carry in those boats only within the area of Dalet Amis. These boats cannot be considered Rishos HaYochid. These boats are considered a Karmelos, because to be considered a Rishos HaYochid, the dimensions of such an area must be 10 tfachim by 4 tfachim. But here, since the boat narrows at the bottom, you don't have those proper dimensions, and therefore the boat is considered a karmelus. And when we speak about a karmelus, you could only carry less than 4 amos. A karmelus is treated like a rishus harabim, where you may not carry more than 4 amos in the karmelus. That's Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, and that's the pshat that we're going to learn in this Gemara. Tosfos, just to mention it once, has a different pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says we're referring here to a boat that the bottom of the boat isn't a flat bottom, but rather it's made out of slats. And the Gemara's discussion is how much space may you have between the slats that this boat should be considered Rishus HaYachid and not be considered part of the Yam, versus if there's a bigger distance between the slats, so then the boat becomes part of the Karmelus, and if the boat becomes part of the Karmelus, then it's treated like a Karmelus. V'lo yamarn, however, says the Gemara, when is this a consideration? Elosh ein b'pachas b'shloisha arba, that when we said that it begins to narrow at the bottom of the boat, that you don't even have a width of 4 tfachim at the bottom of the boat, that's if it begins to narrow before it's 3 tfachim above the ground. Aval, yesh b'pachas b'shloisha arba, it only begins to narrow at the bottom 3 tfachim of the boat, less lumbar. Then this boat is going to be considered still a Rishus HaYachid. Because since it's such a small distance between the area that's 4 tfachim wide and the earth, it's less than 3 tfachim. So we go back to a concept that we've learned previously. We put in the concept of lovid. And therefore, we look at the bottom of the boat as if it is 4 tfachim wide. And what we learn from here is that lovid doesn't just bring what's the ground up, it brings what's on top down as well. Both ways are a legitimate way of applying the concept of lovid. Furthermore, says the Gemara, if you have this boat that is so narrow on the bottom and it becomes this narrow above 3 tfachim above the ground, there's still a way to make this Gemara, this boat, says the Gemara, into a Rishus HaYachid. And that is, imilonu koni v'arboni, if you fill the bottom of the boat with sticks, with wood, so that means it raises the level of the bottom of the boat. So we don't look at the bottom of the boat where the bottom of the boat actually is. We look at the bottom of the boat as where this floor is. And if from where I have the floor, it's already 4 tfachim wide, then less lumbar, it'll be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Maskula Rav Nachman asked Rav Nachman, why do we have to say all of these halachas? Isn't there a concept in halacha, asked the Gemara, of good asik mechitzta? Good achas says that we take the walls down, as we'll show examples in a moment in the Gemara. So even though at the bottom we indeed have a very narrow bottom of the boat, but the upper part of the boat, the walls of the boat, should be viewed as if they're going down, and they are, and the top of the boat, as we explained, is wide enough. So they're going down from an area all the way down, which is 4 tfachim wide, and that should make that the boat, under all circumstances, should be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Miloy Tanya, and the Gemara gives us an example where we apply the concept of good achis. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not kana. If somebody put up a pole which is 10 tefachim high in the Rishus HaRabim, and on top of the pole we don't have a width of 4 tefachim. So if on the top of the pole we don't have a width of 4 tefachim, it itself would not be a Rishus HaYachid. However, if Beroishai, of the top of the pole, we put a traskel, we put a basket, and the basket is 4 tefachim wide, the Zorak, and somebody threw something from the Rishus HaRabim and it landed on top of this basket, v'noch al gabov, and it landed on the top of the traskel, yechayev, because you transported from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But the pole, we only have the width on the top of the pole, not all the way down. The reason is the entire area on top of the pole, the entire area of the width of the traskel is considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid because we take the sides of the traskel and pull them down. And by pulling down the sides of the traskel, it becomes the entire area Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So we see that we use the concept of Gurachis. So here too, why don't we employ the concept of Gurachis to pull down the sides of the wall of the boat and make that the entire boat, although it's so narrow at the bottom, be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Alma Amrinin, Gurachis Mechitzta. So why don't we say it as here as well? Hachinami Neimo, Gurachis Mechitzta. As asked the Gemara, Maskala Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asked Rav Nachman, you want to employ over here the concept of good achas? Have you not heard what Rav Yehuda and Rav, we'll have to say Rav Chia, Vatanela, Vachama Paitrim, the Chum hold that this is not considered an area of good achas, because you can't employ this concept of good achas when it's suspended in the air. And the way the Rishonim explain our Gemara, there are two concepts in Halacha that are very similar but are not identical. One is the concept of good achis, where we want to make imaginary walls. And the Gemara is saying that we don't make imaginary walls. And the other is a concept of pi tikra yair v'soysim, where we do pull down the walls. So does that mean that the Rabbanim don't agree with the concept of Pitek Rav Yair V'Soysim? Of course not. And the Pnei Yeshua, the Miri and the Pnei Yeshua expands on it, explained why not. Pitek Rav Yair V'Soysim is said when I already have an existing wall. And the existing wall I have, I want to pull down. So there's a Halach L'Mosh Sinai that we say Pitek Rav Yair V'Soysim. Here, there is no wall at all. And to create a wall through good achas, they don't say. Ask the Gemara, Omalei Abaya, V'at Loi Tizbro, you don't agree with the concept of good achas, V'tanya. The Braisa teaches us, you have an Omed B'Rishus Rabim, you have a pole that's in Rishus Rabim, G'voya Asar V'rochav Arba. So you have the proper dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. It's 10 tefachim tall, 4 tefachim wide. However, V'ein B'ikra, at the base of this pole, it's not that wide. It's not 4 tefachim wide. And that part which narrows on the bottom of this beam, pole, whatever, in the Rishus Rabim, there is a height of 3 tefachim. V'zorach v'noch al gabov, and something landed on top of that beam, chayiv. You threw something from the Rishus Rabim onto the top of that beam, it's considered as if you threw from the Rishus Rabim to Rishus HaYochid, even though at the bottom you don't have the width of 4 tefachim. So how could that pole be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Alma, we see, because obviously we employ the concept of good achas mechitzta. So ask the Gemara, hachinami by the boat, why don't we employ the concept of good achas mechitzta? Answers the Gemara, midi area. You can't compare the two situations. Hosom, when you throw something at the with the basket on top of the pole, so the area around the pole is completely open. So since the area around the pole is completely open, and yes, halachically, we want to employ the concept of good achas, but it's havalei mechitza shegedoyim boikubo. Even if the halacha creates a mechitza, but it's a mechitza that could be penetrated, it's really air. And the halacha is that any area that can be penetrated is not a wall. And therefore, good achas cannot make it into a wall. Hocha, but here where you have this pole, which is 10 by 4, and just at the bottom it narrows a little, since it's not a place where the gedim can be boiken, it's not a place where animals can be penetrate, so the Rabbanan will agree to the concept of gedim boiken ba. Amma, So that's why the Gemara's question now is very valid. Why don't we have the same issue by the boat that we should say Yedim Baikimba, Omalei Rav Achvered Ravina Rav Ashi, but Gabes Svina Nami, if it's narrow at the bottom, that should mean that we should not be able to pull down the walls of the boat because the Ikka Bekias Dogim. There are no animals, there are fish that are swimming there, and that should be considered as if it's breaking that imaginary wall. Says the Gemara, Amalei Bekias Dogim Leishmei Bekia. Animals that could penetrate a wall, certainly an imaginary wall, are considered the breaking of a wall, and making that wall should not be considered a wall. But fish don't have that ability. Uminot Temra, ask them from where do we see the difference between fish and animals? The Bainai of Tavla Merovin, Mechitza Tluya, if you have a suspended wall, Mashatata Bechorva. And it was specifically asked by a Chorva, says Rashi, because a Chorva had broken walls. Vamalei, E Mechitza Tluya Bateras El Bamayim. Only by water can we rely on this type of a wall. Kalu Shekilu Chom Bamayim. Especially Chazal were lenient by water that we could rely on good achas to create walls. But ask the Gemara, why by a regular wall do we not say good achas? Because the animals could penetrate. So by a wall of a boat, we should also not say good achas because the fish could penetrate. Ho'eke b'kiyas dogim, el shma mino, b'kiyas dogim, lo shma b'kiyah. That's not considered a penetration. And therefore, it's not a problem, and we can employ the concept of good achas. So some Rishonim, the Rashba, explains that why indeed were Chazal makel by Bekias Dogim and not makel by Bekias Gedim? Because where are we using this concept? By a boat in the Yam. And it's a Shasat Chak to be able to get the water from the Yam to the boat or vice versa. So there Chazal were more liberal in employing the concept of good achas. Whereas when we're speaking about a regular mechitza, Chazal did not feel the need to be lenient. That's how the Rashba seems to learn the Gemara. The Chazon Ish seems to learn the Gemara in a much more fundamental fashion. He says, these are imaginary walls. So the question is, what is considered something that will break these imaginary walls, that they should not be considered a wall, versus what will not be in that category? So he says, Bekias Gedim is considered a very strong penetration. And that's why that prevents the wall from being a wall. Whereas Bekias Dogim is not considered a significant penetration and it doesn't break the wall. We learned in the Mishnah, Svinas Kshuris, if you have two boats tied to each other, you're allowed to carry from one to another. But if they're not tied to each other, even though they're next to each other, one may not carry from one to the other. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara, why is it needed to be tell me that if the boats are tied to each other, you're allowed to carry from one to the other? Of course, you're allowed to carry from one to the other. They're both Rishus Sayochid, and I'm carrying from one Rishus Sayochid to another Rishus Sayochid. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Loi Nitzrucha, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, El Hatter Bitzis Shebineim. There's a small boat in between these two boats, and the concern is that since there's that small boat in between, we don't have to be concerned that you're carrying that small boat will be removed and now the two boats will not be next to each other, and you're going to be carrying from one Rosh Hashayachid through a Carmelis to another Rosh Hashayachid. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. That you're carrying from a Rosh Hashayachid through a Carmelis to another Rosh Hashayachid. Taisus has a different concern. Taisus says that the Gemara's concern is that the boat that's in between will be removed, and then whatever you're carrying from one boat to the other boat will fall into the yam, and you're going to try to retrieve it from the yam, and you're going to be carrying from the yam, which is a caramelist, into the other boat, not through the aver of the caramelist, but actually from the yam into the Rishus HaYachid. Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe, you're the God Hador, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the God Hador. Shaper Ka'amrit, is that correct what you're saying? Metatl Mezulazu Tanan. Our Mishnah is talking when the two boats are directly next to each other, not when there's this little boat in between. And how can you therefore, he asked, suggest that our Mishnah is even lenient when there's a small boat in between? So the Gemara here uses a very interesting question, interesting language. The Gemara says, Moshe Shaper Kamrit, when he was questioning the psak that he gave, Moshe, how did you give this psak? So of course, the issue that we need to discuss, as the Sefer Teres Yeshua asks, Moshe, he was a great person, but he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. So how does he call him Moshe? How does he give him this title? So the Teres Yeshua says that if we find in future generations Talmidei Chachamim who could learn, all of their ability to learn and say Dvar Halacha and say Chidushi Torah only comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that gave to us the ability to be able to succeed in our learning. And then he goes on to explain. The Torah says, in B'chukosei Talechu, and as Rashi says, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, if people spend their lives studying Torah, delving into the Torah, so the Pasuk says, V'nasati Gishmeichem B'itam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Panosa, he will give us Panosa b'shevach, b'shefa u'berchava. So he says, Moshe Shaper Ka'amrit. When we're learning Torah, we're connecting to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're connecting to the Torah. And a person who connects himself to the Torah HaKadosha, Shaper Ka'amrit, he will be blessed. Shaper, he'll have a great life, a person who connects himself to the Torah. So therefore, the Gemara, because of this question, goes to a different approach. Ela Amar Rav Safra, Loi Nitzrucha, the Mishnah is referring to a situation to come to teach us a different din. Ela La'arav L'tatl Mezu Mezu. We know the Gemara Masechta Erevin Daf Chaf Aleph Amabeis teaches us. The Midaraisa, one may carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. However, Shlomo Melech made a gzeira that one may not carry from my Rosh Hashanah to your Rosh Hashanah. The example is, let's say we have two apartments in a house. We both live in our own apartment. We both live in our apartment, which is a Rosh Hashanah. One may not carry from one apartment to the other apartment because he was concerned that if I'm going to be able to carry under those circumstances, they may come to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. However, the Gemara says that at the same time he made that if you make an Erev Chatzeris, that if you put food in the home in one of those apartments, so that connects all of the apartments, and it's like we're all living in one home, and then we could carry. The Chiddush here is that we could carry from one boat to the other boat, even though the two boats are not owned by the same person. The halacha is we could still carry if we make an Erev Chatzeris. Tanya, Svinus, Shiksura Zubazu, if you have boats that are owned by two different people, Ma'arvin, Matatlan Zuluzu, you're allowed to make an Erev and then carry from one boat to the next. However, Nifsaku, if that rope that attached the two boats gets disconnected, so now they're not connected anymore. So the Erev is not considered valid. Chazru v'nikshru, if they get tied up again, and it doesn't make a difference, because obviously on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to make a boat, and here, somebody did tie the boats back together. What they did was shogig, they forgot it's Shabbos, or they don't know you're not allowed to make such a knot, Meimazidin, they did it b'mezid, bein anusim, bein mutam, they did it as a mesasik, chazru l'terim arishon, and you're allowed to carry from one boat to the next. V'keim mechtzolos haprusis. You have mats pulled around a rishos rabim, and by pulling the mats around distinct areas in the rishos rabim, the halach is you're making these distinct areas into individual rishos hayochids. And therefore, you have now these individual rishos hayochids with the mats that are pulled around each separate area. The halach is ma'arvin. You can make an erev chatzeris to connect these individual rishos hayochid. And then, matatlam zulazu, you could carry from one to the next. Niglu. However, if these mechitzes get unraveled, so they're not any more separate mechitzes, nesru, you can't carry from one to the other. That area is back to being one big rishus rabim. Chazru v'nifreshu, but then if on Shabbos those walls are put back up, bein shagigim, bein mezidim, bein menanusim, bein matam, no matter what the circumstances, again, although you should not have been allowed to do so on Shabbos, chazru l'teim rishon. You go back to the original heter that each area is considered an individual rishus hayochid. Shekol mechitza shenasa b'Shabbos, but the Braisa teaches us any mechitza, even if it's put up on Shabbos, bein b'shmezid, bein b'shoigig, shma mechitza, and now they're considered again individual rishus hayochids. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that indeed the halacha? V'amar Rav Nachman, loy shana el lizroik. This that we said, that if you put up these mechitzas on Shabbos, they're considered a rishus hayochid, that's only regarding a chumrah. That if I put them up on Shabbos, the individual areas become again considered a rishus hayochid. And if somebody were to throw an object from the rishus harabim into these individual areas that now have the mechitzas put up around them, it's going to be considered as if you carried or threw from rishus harabim to rishus hayochid or vice versa. Aval ataltel, that to say that mechitzas that were put up on Shabbos, although these mechitzas were there before Shabbos, and then they were taken down, and I'm putting them back up, and to create a kula, that each one of these individual areas should be considered a rishus hayochid, that we can't say. We can't rely on that. Answers the Gemara, ki itmar de Rav Nachman and ezer itmar. So the way the Rishonim, Rashi, explains the Gemara is as follows. The mechitza is a mechitza. And since the mechitza is a mechitza, each one of these areas is considered a rishus hayochid. And if it's considered a rishus hayochid, if somebody will transport from the rishus harabim to these areas, it's considered they're carrying from rishus harabim to rishus hayochid, vice versa, and it's certainly usur. But in a situation where I'm creating a kula, and the walls were put up amazing, you knew you were not allowed to put up these walls on Shabbos. To create a kula that I should be able to carry within each one of these segregated areas by saying that each one of these segregated areas is a rishus hayochid, that we can't say if somebody deliberately put up such walls on Shabbos. But furthermore, say the Rishonim, when was that said? Regarding the halacha that we just described. Because the halacha that we just described, we're dealing with Isuri Daraisa. We're dealing with the issue of a rishus hayochid, a rishus harabim. All our concepts that we've discussed that have ramifications for halacha that are mutar or asa midaraisa. But when we go back to the subject of our Gemara, which were the two boats that are connected to each other, when an eruvah chatzeris, if the two boats are owned by different individuals, will be effective, and when will it not be effective? There we're dealing with a din derabbanan. Because midaraisa, as we described, you're allowed to carry from one rishus hayochid to another rishus hayochid. There, with chazal v'meikel, that even if the two boats were reconnected, were tied back together, b'mezid, since the entire issue under discussion is only an issue of a derabbanan, we could be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amishmu, afilu kshurus b'chut ha-sarbel, even if these two boats were connected just with a string of a cloak. It's not a very strong string. They're still connected, and you could carry from one boat to the other. Has the Gemara hechidami? Exactly, what is the situation that we're talking about that they were tied with this type of string? Id yachal amidon, if they're strong enough that the boats will remain connected to pshita, it doesn't make a difference what material was used to tie them together. Vid any yachal amidon, and if it's not strong enough to keep the two boats connected, so mai, why would they be considered connected? Answers the Gemara Loilam the Yachal Amidon. Certainly Shmuel is talking about string which is strong enough to keep the two boats connected. However, the Shmuel, the Fukim and Nafshi Kasi, Shmuel is coming to speak about, to say that this is not the same as he spoke about a different halacha. The halacha is that something becomes tamei. The halacha is a mace is avia voisa tuma. If something is in the house of a mace, in the oil of a mace, he becomes an av hatumah. An av hatumah, we could make something else tameh into the degree of a rishon l'tumah. Now the question is, on what objects could become tameh from an av hatumah? Something which is an av hatumah can make anything into a rishon l'tumah. But a rishon l'tumah cannot make kalim into tameh. A rishon l'tumah, something which is in the status of a rishon l'tumah, cannot make kalim tameh. Can make tameh kalim tameh. So it says kashra. Somebody tied a boat with davar amida with something that can connect one boat to the other. Mevilei tumah. It could bring tumah. That means if a boat was connected to an oil or mace with a string. So now, what's going to be the status of the boat? The boat will be connected to the avi avi satoma, the avatoma. So the dovish aim may be toma, but if you connected it with something that doesn't connect, aim available toma. Says the Gemara, Shmuel explains, what do I mean here? It says it's talking about b'shal shal shal barzel. When it's connected with a metal chain, an iron chain. Because there's a new din. The halacha is cherev harei kucholol. As I said, that anything that comes in contact with a mace, the mace is avi avoy satoma, and the thing that comes connected to it becomes an avatoma. However, if it's connected with a metal chain, Shmuel says that the metal chain will be an avi avoy satoma, and the boat connected to it will now be an avatoma. If it's an avatoma, it will be matama, the kalim that are in the boat. Because an avatoma, I said, can be matama kalim. But if it's connected with a regular string, so then it'll only be a rishon l'tuma. The string will be the av, the boat will be the rishon, and it will not be able to be matama, the kalim that are in the boat. Linyan tuma, so explains Shmuel, by tumah, there's a distinction. Where the Torah says, b'chalal cherev, cherev harei kuchol. Anything that's made out of metal is treated like the avia voice of tumah. So therefore, you need to have a metal chain. Because only something made out of a metal can become avia voice and pass and will make the boat an av and make the kalim tumah. Avalin Shabbos, the fact that it's made out of metal or not made out of metal is immaterial. What makes the difference is kiven the yochel amido afil b'chut asarbel. If the two boats remain connected, then they're connected. If they're tied in a way that they can remain connected, then they are considered connected. If they're not tied in a way that they're going to be permanently connected, they're not considered a pi halacha connected. Of course, Rashi tells us that the Gemara here is referring, because we had a sugya earlier in our Masechta, that boats are not mekabel tumah. So, on daf pei gimel. So Rashi explains that when we learned that sugya, we learned that there are certain boats that are mekabel tumah. We spoke about a Sfinas Hayardain, that's a very small boat that is metal to molly verekin, that you could carry easily. And we learned that type of boat is Mekabel Tumah. So when we're speaking here now, Gemara says Rashi, about the ability for boat to be Mekabel Tumah, we have to be cognizant that we're talking about the boat that we learned earlier in the Masechta is able to be Mekabel Tumah.